You have been listening to Gospel and More here on KBOO Portland. We now invite you to stay tuned for an Islamic point of view here on KBOO.
Oppressed. Let's find the facts. And those who are calling for the freedom of women.
I'm going to have to do this here with this.
Let's
here.
Call for the equality.
Let's
call for justice. Let's save these Muslim women from the oppression of today.
He's hot,
so let's
cold,
free her,
hot,
please.
So
free her from what?
I gotta stay
free
right
her from
here.
Her dignity, of course. Free her from the clothes that she wears. Free her from the pride that she has. That she doesn't know who the ancestors were. Let's free this girl. Let's set her free. Come on, girl. Come on down. Come on down, where you have no value. Come on down, where your price is for the highest bidder. Come on down, where every Tom, Dick, and Harry will look at you. Come on down, that you'll be judged according to 36:24-36. If you fit the bill, you're good. How big the measurement, how good you look, it's not what you have inside, it's what you have outside. It is a superficial, short-lived, a measuring stick that is judged by a human being. They put you like a hanger. They put the clothes on. This here is red. Everybody wears red. This here is black. Everybody wears black. It's below the knee. It's above the knee. It's cut from the right. It's cut from the left. Cut from the front. Cut from the back. You feel like a toy. You're a slave to a man that tells you what to do, what not to do, what to wear, what not to wear. Is that the freedom you're telling me about? Or are you a slave to Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula? A man that doesn't care who you are, where you go, you're going to end up in the hellfire after him? Or Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi ula that wants you to go in eternal happiness? Is that the freedom you're telling me about? If this is who you are? It's a choice you have to make, ukhti.
Every successful man needs a Khadija. So the first person to embrace Islam was a woman. The first person to die for Islam was a woman. Sumayya. The greatest scholar of Islam was a woman. Aisha. The person who loved the Prophet the most was a woman. Who was that woman? Fatima. The person who made the biggest sacrifice for Islam in one day was a woman. Khansa. One of the greatest fighters in Islamic history was a woman, Khawla bint al-Aswar. She fought on the back of horses, killed many kuffar, and spurred the mujahideen on to go on.
This evening, inshallah ta'ala, is for every one of our sisters who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that lives in defense of the Quran and the Sunnah, and lives for Jannah, that has forgotten who she is. I want to speak to you, but the real you. I don't want to speak to the lipstick, or the color contacts, or the pink hair, or the loud gum, or the head bouncing to the iPod, or the cowgirl boots, or the fake nails. I want to speak to you, the real you, your heart and your soul and your mind, about those things buried deep down inside of you that I wish that you could remember. Don't you remember who you are? ونساء كاسيات عاريات مائلات مميلات. And women that are kasiyat, they have clothes on, they have fabric on their bodies. عاريات, but they're naked. They're wearing clothes, but it's as if they're not wearing anything. Their clothes are offering no concealment for them, like the women we see nowadays. مائلات مميلات. They sway side to side in the way they walk, the way they talk, and the way they interact with the opposite gender. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها. They do not enter Jannah, these two types of people. And they will not even be able to find the fragrance of Jannah. The women that leave the house with the shape of their bodies defined, or their hair shown, or they are decorated in one way, shape or form, or they are perfumed, every neck that turns, every eye that looks, you share in the sin of the person that committed it. You can be thinking about a million one things from the moment you leave your house till the moment you return. You can be thinking about school and exams and shopping and email and studying and friends and appointments. You could be upon the bus reading Quran or making dhikr, and you don't even realize it, that guy whose eyes fall on your thigh, or his eyes fall upon your arms, or your neck, or your waist, or your legs, any of this, you get the exact same sin, because you made that sin a possibility. You made it available, and it appeared to them before Allah what they never expected. Sins and sins and sins and sins, mountains. Never expected it. Some people will come on the Day of Judgment and this will be their condition. So Allah, it's not just another sin. Our enemies, the enemies of Allah, the enemies of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the enemies of the Quran, the enemies of the believing men and women, they tricked the women, Muslim and non-Muslim alike, into selling herself like a piece of flesh on the streets. They brainwashed the woman into thinking that whatever attention she can draw to herself, that means she's liberated. They did it, for example, with the anti-Islam propaganda. They throw a bunch of women on screen with hijab on, and they say this is the definition of oppression, 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 oppression. And something repeated so many times begins to settle in the minds and taken for granted as a reality and as a fact. Add on top of that, as sociologists will tell you, this is not some random guess, trained specialists and researchers tell you that a woman, when she dresses more provocatively, she gets 14% better wage. The higher the skirt, the higher the pay. The more buttons open on the blouse, the higher the pay. The prettier the hair, the higher the pay. They trick the women into thinking the attention they can grab to what? To feed their perverse desires. They brainwashed women into thinking that was value. And they thought they were liberated and they finally achieved equality. But I want to say they might have tricked the women. I want to say they might have tricked the women, but not you. Not my sister. Not the slave of Allah. You would not fall for that. You are wiser than that. Sister, my sister, O daughter of Islam. You see, that's who you are. The daughter of Islam. That girl jumping around on screen in the music videos, that's not you. That girl dressed in a business suit, staying late in a private office as someone's secretary, that's not you. That fool on the billboard, that's not you. Sister, O daughter of Islam, become modest. Do not remove the veil. Do not remove the hijab from upon you and then become regretful. Guard your beauty if it's honor that you seek, because the people around you are like wolves on the prowl. Wallahi, it is so true. They killed in you the most beautiful thing about you. Al-haya, modesty. Sister, oh you who spends hours in front of the mirror, looking at herself, don't you know that Allah is watching you and looking at you as you are sitting there or standing there, pleased at what you are preparing of the disobedience of Allah? Oh sister who spends such large sums of money at the salon to give herself the new look for the party or the streets or the classroom or the boardwalk, how much would you pay to fix your look before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Sister, wallahi, I fear for you. How many beautiful girls with beautiful skin got tried with skin cancer that is so common in females nowadays? How many beautiful girls had to go through a procedure, an agonizing, depressing, grievous procedure, because she's tried with breast cancer? You think these diseases were always so common? Wallahi, they were not. Not in the age of obedience. I fear for you a punishment to come down from Allah. Veil yourself. And I fear for you that you don't really think you're going to die. Wallahi, you're going to die. We said this many times over and over again. That guy that you turned his neck in the street, wallahi, he will not benefit you when you are on that piece of wood and they are washing your body with that cold water.
That there is no one on this earth more beautiful than a Muslim woman. There's no one who comes close to that, who is a servant of Allah, who dresses to please Allah. Khaliful Mushrikeen, the opposite, the people, the disbelievers. So when this woman, before she leave the house, like the other woman, she looks in the mirror. But they're looking in the mirror for something different. When the woman in the street look in the mirror, she looking to make sure she has the best style. She looks good. She can attract a man. But this woman, when she look in the mirror, she makes sure she's dressed appropriately. Make sure that Allah is pleased with her. Make sure she's covered. So when she go out in the street, that she covered to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And she does that, she's beautiful. Opposite. The more you grow, the more you study, the more iman you have, the more you become disattracted to some of the things of the dunya. You don't like what you used to do because something happened to you. What happened to you? Something is in my heart now. Something is in my mind. I have Quran in my mind. I have Quran in my heart. I have the love of the Prophet. I have the love of Allah. I have something in me and I'm now different. I feel different. And I warn you, those of you who still like the dunya and you don't make a distinction, then iman is not written in your heart. And be careful.
The choice you have to make. So you ask yourself, do you have a life or is it a lifestyle? What do you have on your walls? Who you listen to? Who you look up to? Who you trying to imitate? You walk, talk, eat, dress, everything like. And you'll find out that some of them, unfortunately, go with the flow. That's how I roll. I get the bling bling, I go down. It's true. Why? Because it's the peer pressure of today. And then you'll find out that who I am, that truly am, if you look at the reflection, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you have to think, my grandmother, my ancestors, Khadija. Don't you know who you are, Ukhti? Your ancestors, you are the children, grandchildren of the Aisha, Fatima radiallahu anhum ajma'een. So you should be proud, wallahi, of who you are. Walk with your head up high. And think about it. Think about what Islam done. The first indication, go back to Ayyam al-Jahiliyyah, the pre-Islamic era, the ignorant era, so they call it. You'll find out that women had no rights. Women were killed before Islam just because they were dishonorable. It was a shame. As a matter of fact, it is mentioned in the Quran. It was a shame for anyone to have a daughter. What did they do? They either kill it or bury it alive or bear with it for a shameless day or a long life. It is narrated that a man came to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, I've done something before Islam that I fear that Allah may not forgive me for that. And of course we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all sins except one, which is shirk, ascribe it partners unto Allah subhanahu wa jalla fi'ula. He told him after a long story, he says, I had this daughter. I felt ashamed. I was patient for a few years. And after a while, I made a decision that I will either bury her or throw her in the well. And as I done, I hear my daughter say, you have killed me, Dad. And I waited for her voice to drown till I heard her die. Till Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam cried and the people around him cried too. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةِ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. On judgment day, this ma'uda, this young child, this young daughter that's prior to Islam, what sin has it committed for it to die? What mistake has she done? By what right have you killed your own daughters? She will come on judgment day, ask you, what sin have I done to be killed? What right have you had over me to kill me? So this was the first indication that Islam honored women. You go back in history, you'll find that Islam gave a woman the right to inherit, gave a woman right to vote, gave a right to a woman to have business. All these are authenticated. That Islam has given women way over, not just 100 years or so ago that they were fighting and debating. Over 1400 years ago, Islam given that the rights of women. Imagine yourself, akhi and ukhti. And you go back in history, you'll find out that their own faith says the same thing. You go back in the scriptures, you'll find the authenticated ones actually telling you the same thing. Amazing. Islam says no, women are honored. Women are honored. We look at them as much more than you think. They're elevated. The only religion on the face of the earth that elevated mothers over three times over the father. No other religion on the face of the earth that actually honors women more than Islam. If you think about it, you'll find Islam is the only true path. It teaches you that even when you go ask for your hand in marriage, a wife, she's still wearing the hijab. Why? Because you don't look at that, what we talked about before. You look at her mind. You look at her characteristics, her personality, heart, the religion background, the moral conduct background. Not the other way around where they meet in bars. If she's good or round or she takes her whatever, I'm trying to keep this a family show as much as possible. We have kids, how old are you, son? You get the gist, you understand what I'm saying. Allah help you, wallahi. But of course the sisters have it very difficult. You think it's easy? La wallahi. But you tell me, man, I wear a thobe. Man, I have a beard. No, no. You try wearing a hijab and niqab and walk down the street just in case you think it's easy. Wallahi, it's not easy. They are a walking pulpit, ya akhi. You should be proud, ufti. It's a izzah, it's an honor for you to be a Muslim muhajjaba. Wallahi, you stick out like everybody else is walking naked and you're holding on. Even though it's hot in the sun, the scholars say every drop of sweat in your body is the heaviest on the scale. You've shaded yourself here, Allah will shade you on Judgment Day, where there's no shade except His shade. 50,000 years. Imagine yourself. This is a true story. A young girl was wearing the hijab, another sister, supposed to be Muslim. She says, isn't it hot? What did she say? قُلْ نَارُ جَهَنَّمْ أَشَدُّ حَرَّى. The hellfire is hotter. Imagine yourself, أُخْتِ عَفِيفَ, honorable. No one sees you except what is permitted to be seen, or those who can see you. Imagine yourself, أُخْتِ, as if you're the only one that is fighting. When the whole army is fled, you're the only one holding on to La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, in an environment that is full of mischief, transgression, evil deeds and acts. Imagine yourself, Ukhti, being resurrected on pulpits of light, being proud to say La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, when everybody else around you has not. Imagine, Ya Ukhti, you're called Al-Qaleel, you're amongst the few. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. May Allah make us among the qaleel, the few, ameen. Only a few of my slaves are grateful. And how could you be grateful? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you the answer, وَعْمَلُوا آلَ دَاوُدَ شُكْرًا. It's the amal, it's the actions and deeds. So once you wear the hijab, أختي, Allahu Akbar. Imagine yourself, the honor when you walk around. Nobody will be able to see you and say, she's walking for this, she's looking for that. But we take the norm or the general, inshaAllah, understanding the iffah, the honor and the dignity of that woman by the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we go back and say, don't be fooled, Ukhti. Don't be fooled when they tell you, like some other women done in another country, again so-called Muslim. They took off their hijab, placed it beneath their feet, and they start stomping on it, declaring it's the freedom of women now. Allahu Akbar. And everyone that followed her, she will commit that sin till Judgment Day. Could you imagine? The scholars will tell you, for every hair that is shown to a non-mahram, to a person that can actually marry you, is considered a sin. You imagine now if the sister is not muhajjaba, for every hair on her head is counted as a sin. You do how many people have seen you without? Multiply by the days of your life, you do the math. Subhanallah. Don't you see this sister that's walking around, especially in the West, that's wearing the hijab or the niqab, like an angel? Wallahi, I've never had so much respect for women till I've seen a sister that is walking in the West, especially, that is wearing a hijab or niqab. Wallahi, she looks like an angel walking down. Ya Allah, subhanaka rabbi, by the izzah. And some now, the Muslim sister says, I don't want to be known, Ya Akhi. It's a difficult time, different this and different that. Says, you're going against the Quran, Ya Ukhti. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْن فَلَا يُؤْذَيْن. لِكَيْ يُعْرَفْن. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you wear this so you will be known. You will be known so you will not be harmed. How could you be known? I am not that type of a girl. That's a declaration. I'm a Muslim woman. Don't mess with me. Where is the pearl come from? The beauty of the pearl is inside the shell. The shell may not look that beautiful, but what's inside that counts? That is the beauty of the woman in Muslims. As the Muslim woman, the beauty of your ukhti is who you are, who you truly are, what you're created for, the reason that is inside your heart. The beauty under the hijab, not the outside, the fake. When you take that sister that looks like a whatever, you take her, you put her under a shower, you take her out, you take all that paint and all that plastic and all that stuff, she looks like a... Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But the beauty, the one that worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi ula, no matter what, you actually admire and respect that sister. The sister that will be with you in heaven, inshallah, is totally different. So even the brothers, they may be fooled. They have the picture in the back of their mind that this is who I want to marry. That's beauty, that's love. But don't you see, Ya Akhi, look at all the dreams before and even nations before, you'll find out that hijab was before Islam. When people tell you that a Muslim woman is oppressed and they had to be forced to do this, I said, you don't even know. You haven't done your own homework. You go back to the nations before you. I asked him one question. What was the color of the hair of Mary, may peace be upon her? The mother of Jesus, may peace be upon her. What was her hair color? They don't know. They tell me, I have heard this. Brown, black, blonde. I have heard this. Blue. Blue, come on, man. It's not from Mars. We're coming down to Earth, dude. Come on. This is from the schools that come to the center and they talk about comparative religion and the world religion classes. I go, you know why you don't know? Because she was what? You tell me, yes, she was covered. You're right. What about the nuns? Yeah, it's covered too. It's okay, let's free the nuns. Free the nuns, man. Free Mary. Let's go do the demonstration in the streets. I tell you, let's go too quickly now. What were you thinking? We oppress women, we force them to wear the hijab? I go, on the contrary. This is a European country. You're supposed to be at the top of democracy, a G7. Freedom, democracy in action. They passed the law that you cannot cover your head. They passed the law, you cannot cover your head. Now they're passing other laws that you cannot cover even your face and so on. And they say that's a democracy. They tell you what to do, what not to do, how to live your life, and how to what to worship, what not to worship, how to actually practice your religion, and they call that a democracy. Allahu Akbar. In France, after they passed that law, who walked in the streets of France asking for the rights to wear the hijab? Was it Muslim men? Was it Muslim men going, we want to oppress our women? Let them put our hijab on. No, it was Muslim women that walked in the streets of France asking for the rights to wear the hijab. It was French women that walked in the streets of France to support Muslim women for their own rights. Let them be. But hold on to La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Because that is your lifeline. Wallahi, this time is short-lived. However, my sisters in Islam, I can't tell you how proud I am of you, wallahi, of holding on to the hijab or the niqab here in the West. It's a struggle day in, day out. But what gets this poor slave of Allah is when I hear a sister on the other line crying. Says, my father will disown me if I wear the hijab. I said, I'm sorry, Ukhti, repeat that please. So my father will disown me if I wear the hijab. He says, if you wear the hijab, I will disown you. Or better yet, my husband now is telling me to take the hijab off. I go, Allahu Akbar. I can't believe I'm hearing those words with my own ears. Have you not heard, ya akhi, that in Jannah there is a banner that says, La yadkhuliki the youth. The youth, the definition. مَنْ يَرَى الْقُبْحَ عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ وَيَرْضَى بِهِ. Those who see that is unlawful upon their women folks, the one they're in charge of, are responsible for, and he accepts that. As a matter of fact, you go the other way around. Tighten the dress a bit, shorten a little more, take up the hijab, show a little bit of whatever, and all that stuff. Imagine, or they ask her to do something that is bad or unlawful, or haram. لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That is called the youth. On Judgment Day, there is a banner in heaven says, this the youth will not be permitted to enter heaven. So my brothers, be very careful, ya akhi.
Allah Akbar.
So the Khadija,
you have been listening to An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland. We invite you to stay tuned for Pathways. We also invite you to tune in next week at the same time for An Islamic Point of View. Our subject today has been the woman in Al-Islam.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of KOTO, Beyond Horizons, on Sunday, October 6th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Agnes Flanagan Chapel at Lewis and Clark College in Portland. The KOTO is the national instrument of Japan. At this performance, Oregon KOTO Kai, a Portland-based Japanese KOTO ensemble, will feature world-renowned KOTO virtuoso Kazue Sawoyi. Again, that's KOTO, Beyond Horizons, on Sunday, October 6th,